some things come naturally to SAFM, like being SA's news and information leader. SAFM, 104 to 107.
So there we are. Maybe I should say this now, since we chatted about it before. So to Chris Marolang, I'll say officially welcome to the SABC. Looking forward to engaging with you as the newly appointed now COO. And as the world works now, do what I've done. I've just tweeted him as well as we've just made the announcement. It's a case right now, of course, welcome back to my in the spotlight guest. We talk about all things around Servest. My guest is Prashantin Pillay, the general manager at Servest Catering. He's the general manager of business and industry at Servest Catering. So we were talking just before the breaking news around managing the different these sort of catering divisions. Explain how that rolls out. So you've got Servest as an umbrella company. Yes. And then what happens?
So Servest has numerous divisions within its umbrella, and catering is, as I said, a little small division where we're growing at a fast pace to attract new clients and so forth. So in terms of our catering division, we cater for the needs of our corporate clients, from the blue collar right to the white collar, as I said earlier, and trying to find solutions that can motivate their staff from a food point of view, providing healthy meals, providing innovative solutions that will try and prevent the guys from actually stepping out of the business and providing a meal that they'd rather stay in, which increases productivity from a client point of view.
I suppose, that's an important issue, the issue of, you know, corporate business with canteens. Yes. And that's developed and grown. And it is important because of the issue of time, isn't it? So people can, obviously, you should actually do something at the SABC. I'm just thinking there's certainly scope, and I'm just suggesting.
Well, point me in the right direction.
We have a new COO, so perhaps you can have a meeting with him, right? How important is that in terms of, let's call it the company mix, that whatever else they do in terms of their normal work, that the providing the catering add-on, you know, in-house, especially for bigger companies, is really important to ensuring that the day really works out well.
Okay, so just to correct you, that canteens are a word of the past. It's more cafeterias and staff restaurants, as we call it in our division. With Servest itself, we've got a hygiene division, we've got a security division, a parking division, right through to landscaping and office services. So in all your beautiful offices and plants, that's what we all come into. And we can provide a turnkey solution as and when required. And I think that's the focus of where Servest is at its best, is we can provide all the solutions under one umbrella and have one point of contact rather than various others.
When do you know you're succeeding, you personally and you in terms of your company division?
I think I don't see succeeding as a goal in my daily career or in my life. I see it as me growing and learning more to make changes and impacts on other people's lives.
And this is interesting because we're going to go back to your early days where you've done lots of things and you've been in the kitchens. Yes. of some of the biggest names in the country and it's pretty stellar, right? But maybe it's a good time to go right back there. I was looking through the notes and I understood that your interest in foods to the point where I want to become a chef happened at the age of, you may want to give us the answer.
At 8.
My goodness. At the age of 8, you'd made this decision.
Yeah. I think the norm of kids at my age at that time was I want to be a security. I mean, I want to be a policeman. I want to be a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher. And, you know, I want to make an impact in somebody's life. I rather didn't want to be going into the norm or the stereotypical way of thinking that I can be a doctor and make somebody else's life different. I wanted to do it, and the best way I found that I was brilliant at or I showed so much of passion and I loved it every minute of it was being in a kitchen with my mum and getting burnt and cutting the onions and getting screamed at if I did something wrong. But I think that's where kept me strong and motivated was this is the way I can make that change to a person's life is by making them fall.
But you understood that. The point I'm making is that you understood that as a kid.
Yeah.
How come?
I think I was blessed to. Firstly, I just wanted to do something and chefing was it. And I didn't know what a chef was those days, but I told my mom and dad I want to be a cook. So the first question was that, so you're going to be cooking at home and your wife's going to be working. So unfortunately, we we came to an understanding, and I was motivated and pushed by my parents. And obviously with the industry, it's all about passion and motivating. And you know, you're the only person in the kitchen that's never ever been put a pat on your back and said well done. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that. You want a person leaving that restaurant or the cafeteria or the casino or the prison saying, you know what,
Shop,
thanks.
I
appreciated
really
that meal and I can see the love behind it. And I think, you know, every plate of food is one of my chefs that told me when I was in the industry very, very young, was you're only as good as a chef as your last meal you cooked.
Well, I think you certainly are, because you all know people like us. We're all very, very critical. So yes. You don't deliver 2-3 winning meals and you have serious, serious problems. So from the time of age of 8 where you formulated this vision of I want to be in the cooking industry of sorts, right? What then was your plan? What then did you do?
So we started off. Well, I started off in primary school in Kyrgyzstan, and I did home economics.
Okay.
From standard 4, and thereafter I did it right through to standard 6, and moved it right on to the matric, where I was the only male individual that did home economics in the entire school's history, which was inspiring.
And the school was called?
Kyrgyzstan Secondary.
So where is that?
That's in Durban.
Okay, all right. Go
on. And I think it was humbling to me that after I finished matric, I had to do a motivational talk for a home economics class that was entering in standard 8, which had 26 guys and 5 women, or 5 girls.
Okay, so things so that flipped.
It flipped completely at the 360 to a certain degree. And I kept going there after, while I was traveling between my place of training and back home. I used to pop into school and have a couple of talks with the guys, and you know, and the new kids that wants to go into chefing or cooking and want to excel in it. Because I think the passion for this industry is just humongous. It's so exposed at the moment that everybody wants to be a chef.
But put it to me in words. I mean, and this is long before, you know, the advent of these celebrity chefs, and that came later on. But put it to me in words for someone who does not cook, who does basic stuff, and that's it. This passion that you talk about for cooking, like the big thrill. I'm trying to see someone describe, you know, taking a wicket in cricket and bowling a yorker or hitting a six in food terms. How would you describe what you do?
I think the creating of a dish is paramount. It's what sets you apart from the next component. Everybody can bowl a yorker, as you said. Everybody can bowl, take a wicket.
I don't know if anybody can bowl a yorker, but anyway, yeah.
But in cooking, it's individuality. It's you bringing out your person onto a plate that makes you unique. No plate's going to be the same unless you mass production and standardized recipes. But it gives you the opportunity to portray yourself on a plate, and it can come in with the different colors. It can come in with the different flavors. You mixing a fusion of sweet and sour and chili. And, you know, that's where everything comes into a plate. And as long as you're happy and from your first bite, that's my job done. And that's what we want.
But do you find, therefore, that your obvious enthusiasm and I'm talking about personalized cooking now, that you clearly possess, does that then rub off onto the eater? I mean, they may like the taste is important, but do they really care about the trimmings or like, come on, I just want to get to the food?
Well, I think the focus on where food is going now is about that you eat with your eyes, and it's always been the case. But if everything works together, that's done. It has to all, in terms of the components of your garnish that's edible, that's the color, the flavor, the smell, the flour, the nasturtiums that you put on that accompanies the panna cotta, for instance, that's got lavender and you got a bit of scent of strawberry and raspberries that goes with it. That's unbelievable.
And suddenly the whole country is like, oh my goodness, man, I'm interested in the way food is prepared and presented. And I think this is really the what we're talking about here, more than just the eating. Suddenly there's a whole new world out there that we don't quite appreciate. But it's certainly, the point made is that it has become big business in terms of just understanding the brand of just people who are chefs. But my guest, Prashantin Pillai, is just not just a chef. He's moved on from there to become now the general manager of business and industry at Sylvester Catering. So that's where he is. By the way, you can call in 0891-104-207. Who's listening? Family, friends?
My wife's listening. Well, my parents are listening.
We have not said you should not call. So do call, and perhaps you can tell us what is it that you saw about him and and his penchant for cooking that was going to be so successful even at the age of 8 or maybe even younger than that. In the meantime, it's time to play your song. You've chosen a John Legend song, All of Me, right?
Yes.
Why that song?
I think that song holds a very special spot in my heart for my wife and I. We've been married now 2.5 years, and that was our song that we decided to tie the knot with.
Okay, so the our song factor, All of Me, All of Us, perhaps. Here it is. Well, that was really good. So you enjoyed listening to that?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
And your wife too, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed it. And you can call in to 0891-104-207. Let's get to someone who is calling, and that's the name TK. Does that name ring a bell?
Nope.
Okay, maybe it will. TK, hi.
Hi, Ashraf, how are you?
Okay, I'm great. Great of you to call in, right? I'm sure you don't want to talk to me, so go ahead and speak to your... Prashantan, yeah.
Hey, Prashantan, how are you, man?
Hi, TK.
Hey, Chief, congratulations, eh?
Thank you.
You know what, Ashraf, that man there...
Oh. Now we've lost you, TK. You better call in, like, right away, because you stopped at that man there. And this sounds like the sequel to Days of Our Lives. We can't wait till next day to find out what you really want to say. So do call back. I will take your call right away. We were talking off air about, you know, the rise of celebrity chefs is something I touched on earlier. Certainly with regard to television and what that means, right? What impact has that made for the industry? I would say from the outside, it has given us, people like myself who consume foods, a great appreciation that there's a magic art around it. Has it had that impact, or is there even more you can tell us?
Well, I think it took a point off. I was taking a bit of a back step, and I think a lot of chefs will agree to me, is that the passion and the drive behind it is put out that the industry, you want to be a chef, and you walk in expecting to be a celebrity chef after you qualify. And what happens is that the kids nowadays go in and want to do a diploma and expect to be walking in front of a camera, where it actually takes hard work. Gordon Ramsay, you know, Jamie Oliver, all the celebrity chefs, our local Benny, Chef Benny, I mean, they all worked hard. They worked hard. They put in the hours. They worked a 24-hour shift. They worked an 18-hour shift on their feet, on their chef clogs, and they cut themselves and burnt themselves, and we all worked towards it. And I think that's what focus needs to be put on. Is celebrity great? Awesome. I'll be the first one to put my hand up. Yeah, everybody wants to be a celebrity chef. But it takes a hard person with thick skin to walk into a professional kitchen and run the pass or run a section. And that's what it all means.
Television cameras to film all of that.
Yeah. What happens behind the scenes? You still have to stay focused on every plate that goes out. It's a signature.
You don't want to be a celebrity chef? If you were offered this chance today?
I would, but I would take a team that's with me and use that benefit to develop passion from the townships, passion from the guys that never had the opportunity. And that's what I would do. Instead of going and cooking, you know, in front of a lot of cameras, taking a person that's got a drive and the EQ to make it work and put him in front of a camera and say, let me teach you. Let me take you and hold your hand and teach you what is to be a chef.
Maybe that's the way to do just that. More to come as we continue putting my In the Spotlight guest, Prashantan Pillay, in the spotlight. 3:30 now, time for the news headlines.
You
start that.
You're tuned to SAFM 104 to 107. You can also catch us on the DSTV audio bouquet on channel 814, as well as online at safm.co.za.
In the spotlight is Prashantan Pillay. So early days as a chef and now the general manager at Sylvester Catering. The Sylvester Catering, that's the general manager of business and industry there, right? So let's just go back to the time you went to, let's call it, chef school. And then I was going through your notes. You have been involved in a series of high profile, like Gold Reef City. There's a couple more that I'm missing out. Back on the Moon, part of that. But just maybe run through 5 significant appointments that you've made.
I think the first one was opening up a golf course for Jack Nicklaus in St. Francis Links.
Okay.
And then taking over Shaka Marine World at Cargo Hole Restaurant, where it was the pleasure of working with my 3 hosts, my 3 reggae tooth chocks. And I think that was the highlight. Spending 9 months as the head chef, taking over the general manager position of the restaurant, and then 9 months later becoming the food and beverage manager for the park. I think in this industry, being a chef is the grounding of being a manager and knowing exactly from the back of house what happens to the front of house. And I think I have the benefit where I stand by at the moment to push it to the benefits, to push it to the extreme, where I look at it from a holistic point of view and knowing where the loophole is to define and create a better experience for our clients.
Mm. Because I take it, and I think you're quite right, that if I've used some sporting analogies just now, one can also use, you know, food analogies to understand teamwork. Meaning, if you don't get the systems right in the cooking, that food will not taste right. And it just has to be, there's like 10 things that must work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about standardization. It's about everybody having a buy-in into the recipe. Everybody appreciates it and understands why it all works. And I think that's where majority of successful kitchens around the world and in South Africa is having a well-oiled machine and the team behind it that pushes that boundary.
So you were saying of all those things, your absolute highlight has been?
I think there's many. If I have to define it, I define... Five would be an injustice to.
Well, maybe try very quickly. Five one-liners.
Five. Okay, so running three casinos in South Africa, one being the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere, running numerous kitchens at one go for canteens and corporate catering, and working on a cruise liner to Inyaka Island, 7-day cruise.
Amazing.
Working for Shark Marine World, working for a large hotel group and working a majority of their hotels and being each unit having its diverse expectations from a client and food background kind of view. And working hard, I think. Mm. And I think end of the day, What I'd love to always walk her away from is that each one of those places stuck into me and made me who I am today.
And would you say that where you are now at Sylvester is the pinnacle of your career, or are you going to say, no, I've got a lot more to go?
Well, I think I've got a lot more to go and to give at Sylvester. This is just the stepping stone of a bigger picture that I can take catering and B&I to a different division or to a different level. And I'm humbled that I've got given the opportunity from being the national exec chef to running the entire catering division, which is a difficult task, but I think it's the best time to do it. And at its young age at the moment, running for 6 years, I think this is my biggest.
Okay, well, wonderful, and hopefully more to come. Now, we're left hanging in the air with TK, but he will tell us like part two of that story. TK, once again, hello.
Hey, sorry, Ashraf, I got cut off there.
No problem. Right, go ahead, talk to your mate.
Hmm. Ashraf, all I want to say, that guy deserves to be there.
Thanks, TK.
Okay.
He deserves it. He deserves very, very, very dedicated young man.
tell us why.
He knows his story. You know, I heard him saying about, talking about food, saying, when I see your plate, I must see you. That's his motto. You know, when you see his food, you just see Prashantan. The plating, the attention to details, you know, the look of the plate. I mean, the guy is brilliant, Ashraf.
Okay, well, now we know. Wonderful endorsement. Yeah, you wanted to say something else?
I know. Thanks, Ashraf. Thanks. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Congratulations, Prashantan.
Let's get Prashantan just to reply to you. Go ahead.
Thanks, TK. I appreciate every mention that you've made. And obviously, you know me very, very well. And you obviously know my screaming and shouting as well. But that comes with the job, unfortunately. Standards have to be set.
Well, there we are. TK, great that you called in. Okay, always welcome those calls from anybody else who knows Prashantan Pillay, you know, personally, more than anybody else. I mean, anybody can call, but we like the personal calls when we put somebody in the spotlight. So, I mean, you did say you still have lots to do for Sylvester, but even now, when you look like 10, 15, 20 years, what do you think would be like your crowning achievement? You haven't yet done it. I'm assuming it's like part of a bigger ambition.
Well, I think the vision collectively would be to be the number one service provider in terms of food and beverage to the corporate catering and industrial industry in South Africa and filtering our footprint across the country, across the world.
How big are you guys now? Give us like an idea in terms of numbers.
Well, we've got 13 sites or 13 units and clients, and we're expecting another few more to pop in the next, by end of the month, or Feb. We are growing remotely as well. We've got a remote division that takes over our camps and remote sites. And we've also got a footprint in the UK, which is quite massive with our sister or our partner on the other end of the ocean.
Okay. What do you want to get off your chest? And and I don't mean like maybe bad food. It's an open-ended question that could apply to anything in the country. What do you want to say? People are listening.
Well, I think to get off my chest, I think it would be very, very honestly, if you want to do something, don't let nobody stop you. Do it because you want to, do it because you need to, and do it that you want to do it every day. And that's what I want to get off.
That's been your attitude.
Yeah.
Who's made a big impact on your life growing up?
I think my parents, my gran, a grandfather that I never knew until I qualified that was a chef at the Pavilion Hotel in Durban. I think it was my family that motivated me the most in terms of me in the industry. I've worked with numerous brilliant chefs, Kevin Joseph, Bertolt Fehrenbach, Romy Milton, Romy Babani at Emperor's and Ronald Ramsamy. I've worked with numerous. And, you know, every one of them has their own personalization that you bring to the table or the plate. And I just had the opportunity to pull as much as I could.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your personal leadership. So maybe three words that can describe, your leadership style.
Decisive, strict, and directive. Should I say?
Okay. Sounds like the type of school headmaster that we really need. Okay. Okay. What about, did you have a mantra, mission statement that you pluck on the wall that's personal?
You're only as good as your team behind you. Hey? I think that's the
leadership, all of that coming up. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let's get to Radio Vuka.